Okay, so, Valley of Dry Bones. You can see what I'm going to speak about today just by its title. We was in a prayer meeting on one Tuesday a week or two ago, and it just seemed to flow. Whenever we prayed, there was someone who mentioned, Lord, refresh us. Lord, the dry bones, you can breathe afresh into us. And I think out of those that were there, there was most of us prayed on the same theme, and it struck me that it'd be worth us reading this and putting it into context and maybe gleaning something for ourselves about this portion of scripture. Now, when we look at any portion of scripture, we want to have a context. We want to know that what's it mean and what's it mean to us now. And whenever we read scripture, or certainly whenever I read scripture, there's always something that jumps out at me. There's always something that will encourage me, correct me, direct me, even though it was meant for a certain group of people in a certain time and for a certain space. And we're talking about Israel here when we're talking about this portion of scripture, but there is so much that we can glean from these scriptures. So I want to read them to you. And as we read scripture, just so much of what's familiar, we can easily miss out on. And there's many people say, oh yeah, I've read that portion of scripture. It's about the dry bones and God doing this and sinew. And there's a rattling sound and there's a spirit in there somewhere. But let's read it, or you listen and I'll read. The hand of the Lord was on me, talking to Ezekiel here. And he brought me out by the Spirit. And that's one of the things to always look at this moment. He brought him out by the Spirit of the Lord. He didn't just come out as a prophet. Didn't just come out as a man looking at all these bones that were dry, very dry. He came out by the Spirit of the Lord. And he set me in the middle of a valley. This was a vision that he had. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them. And I saw how great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. And if you know anything about bones, there is life in bones until they dry out completely. There are, in the bone marrow, there is still life to be found. But in this valley, it was dry, it was very dry. So I want you to get a picture of what the Lord is saying spiritually here about Israel, about this nation that he breathed into. And he wants to breathe into again. Very dry. He asked me, son of man, can these bones live? And so often we can be asked a question through scripture. You know, can you do this? And then we can say, yeah, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's one of our go-to passages. But we also can go, Lord, only you know. There are things in our lives, there are circumstances and situations that only God knows. When we look back, it's easy. We were talking a little while ago about hindsight. Isn't it great? If only I'd have done this differently. If only I'd have gone to the right and not to the left. If only I'd have said yes and not said no. But God knows, doesn't he? And something else that was mentioned today, just in conversation, was now is the time. It's about what God wants to do now in your life, not what happened last week or the year before, or if I did, I could have, I should have, I would have, maybe if I had done. It's about now. And this is where Ezekiel finds himself. Then the Lord said to me, prophesy to these bones. And to prophesy is to speak, it's to proclaim. Say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. And there are things in my life, and I'm sure in your life, and we're talking about Israel here, and this is a prophetic word that came in their lives for then, during their journey and to come, because Jesus is coming back for a victorious church. He's talking about putting flesh upon you. He's covering you with skin, putting breath in your lungs again. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together. Bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come, breath. From the four winds, and the breathe into the slain, that they may live. In verse 10, so I prophesied, I proclaimed, I spoke it aloud, in other words, as he commanded me. The breath entered them, and they came to life, stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. So whenever we read scripture, if we're not quite sure, keep reading. Who is this about? And we've got the answer right here. This is about the people of Israel. They say, oh, bones, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. And when you look at this portion of scripture, so easy to see that here's Ezekiel the prophet. He's coming to in this vision, he's seeing this valley of bones, dry bones, where the bodies have been disconnected, spiritually dead. And yet when we look at this portion of scripture, they also condemn themselves, where they say, then he said to me, son of man, these bones of the people of Israel, they say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. And so often, we can say this to ourselves. That will never happen. I'll never be able to achieve that. They'll never do that. There's no way they can afford to. And we can speak. And I'm not saying for any stretch of the imagination that when we say something, it happens. But when the Spirit of the Lord gives us an instruction, when we speak it out, I do believe there's something that happens in the spiritual. That when God says speak and we speak, he backs it up. When God says stop and we stop, he speaks to us. And so often, as we can see here in this portion of scripture, then he said to me, son of man, these bones and the people of are the people of Israel. They say, this is the people of Israel. Our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. There's no hope. These are a people that saw the miracles of God. Now, for you and I, we've seen and we've witnessed things in other people's lives. We've seen transformation in our own lives. I know that Susan's seen a transformation in me. I've gone from this kind of individual that used to get angry all the time to just someone who gets angry some of the time. But she's seen a transformation in me and I in her. And we've seen it in others. We're on a journey, aren't we? We're not perfect, or are you? No, that's why we need help. But so often we can be the ones that will speak into someone else's life. You'll never do that. You know, our children, they go, Mum, Dad, you know, I can. And they go, oh, no, you'll never be able to do that. Instead of saying, keep on believing, keep on going. You know, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. How do you go forward? By putting one foot in front of the other. I've said this before, I'll say it again, because I walked with an alcoholic for many years, and I used to say, just keep going forward. And he said, yeah, Andrew, but every time I take two steps forward, I seem to take another step back. What has he just said? One step forward. And we can miss that, and the people of Israel can miss that. They can see that their Redeemer lives. They walked with God. They heard his voice. They saw the miraculous. They were fed when they were in the desert. They were given spiritual water as well as natural water. They turned around and said, yeah, this is impossible. And that's how it can be for us. Now, I'm not suggesting that everything you pray for you get, but if you don't ask, you don't receive. I have not because I ask not. And so I want to encourage us that don't allow the dryness of the situation to stop you from prophesying, from speaking into the situation. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can because I am an overcomer. The Bible says I am more than a conqueror. I really enjoy this portion of scripture. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. And that's why it's important to read our Bibles. To say, what does the Bible say about this? Repent. Okay, I'm going to repent. Keep short accounts. I'm going to move forward. I'm going to stop. I'm going to digest. I'm going to encourage. I'm going to bless. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live. And you will settle in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, has spoken. I have done it, declares the Lord. He has done it. He is doing it. He is going to do it. Just look at the history of Israel. Look at what happened. They were in exile. They were scattered all over the world. At this moment in time, there are more people coming back to the land of Israel than has ever been coming back. But there is coming a time, the Bible says, that those that are dead will be raised to life. And that includes the nation of Israel, those that God has poured his spirit upon. So I want to encourage us as we look through these few scriptures together, that this portion of scripture specifically talking to the nation of Israel. But when we glean from the character of God, because when I look through scripture, I do see things very poetically, but I also see that, yes, the Lord was speaking to Israel. And we can't misinterpret that portion of scripture. Say, well, that's for us now. That's for the spiritually dead within the church. Well, you can't be spiritually dead if you're in the church. Is that right, Mike? You're either alive or you're dead. You're either alive in Christ or dead in your sins and transgressions. So you can't be a dead Christian, can you? No. So it's not a representation of the dead church. Now, are there dead churches? It's not for me to say. But a dead church would be a church where the breath of God is not there. A dead church would be a church that they don't believe that the Holy Spirit can still move. A dead church maybe is a church that don't believe that the blood of Christ still speaks today. So it's not for me to say which church is dead. I just hope this one isn't. I hope we're awake. I hope we're alive. I hope we're a group of people that know that we're on this journey. But when we prophesy, let's look at this word to prophesy, to proclaim the word of truth. We don't prophesy the coming of Christ like the prophets did in the Old Testament because Christ is here. Christ has risen. He lives within us. But we proclaim his word. So we can speak his word to a situation. We can say, Lord, you promised that you'll never leave me or forsake me. I'm feeling lonely, but Lord, you promised to inhabit me, encourage me, enable me. In Matthew 8:8, the centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. This is talking about the centurion that needed a miracle in his life. And he said to Jesus, just say the word. And he understood authority. Now, there again, don't misinterpret me. I'm not saying you just go, I want £1 million, therefore I have it, because I've proclaimed it, I've prophesied it, according to God's plans and purposes. I'll say yes and amen if he says it to me. But when it talks about, does he want us to prosper? Yes, he does. Does he want us to be directed? Yes, he does. Does he want us to be corrected? Yes, he does. Does he want us to repent? Yes, so that we can go forward. Does he want us to keep a clean heart and renew a right spirit? Yes, he does. So all these promises are yes in the Lord. And if we don't digest it in us, it can't come out of us. So out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak. But this man understood what it was about the word of authority. And that's what we're talking about here. Prophesy, speak to these dry bones and allow the ruach, the breath of God, to come upon them. Because you can have something that looks alive, but without the breath of God, it's still dead. And when you look at this picture that we're given in Ezekiel, it talks about the bones came together. They just came from all over this valley and they joined together. They were covered in skin. There was sinew and there was, apparently it looked as if there was life, but it says there was no breath in them. And that's how it is with circumstances and situations that we can come across. That we think it's alive, yet it's dead. Why? Because we haven't enabled the breath of God to come into it. We haven't been in the position where we've said, Lord, you breathe into my circumstance. You breathe into my situation. Lord, this is where I am. It seems to be dry and barren. It seems to be dead. But Lord, breathe upon it. Bring life into it. And I challenge you, if you do this in your life, but you need to surrender you in order to see him. Because we need to make room for the breath to come in and enable us to be living beings in the sense of spiritually alive to what God wants to say in us and through us. So I have a few more scriptures. Let's look at 2 Peter 1:20. It says this, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of scripture comes about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. It's so important to understand this. When we speak, we can say it's prophetic, can't we? We're prophesying. So someone could say, Pastor, would you pray with me? And I pray and I speak something over their lives. And if I'm not careful and they're not careful, they'll take it as a word from God. And it may be, it may not be. And they'll just take it as done. Oh, I want you to go and purchase that vehicle. God says, yes, I've given me a picture of this and that. We need to see that it's not about what I say. It's not about what good men and women say. It's not about what other ministers may say. It's about what God's Spirit says. He will always give you a witness, yes? So often we can take that as someone else, and that is true. You know, there's been stuff in my life. I remember God calling me into ministry, and sorry, Susan, and a man was a stranger to us, didn't know us. We were going through some tough times, and he came and he prayed over me and he said, I see that you're going to lead a ship. And Susan says, I don't like water. No, we're not going to lead a ship. He's called me to lead a ship. Sorry. True story. But that was already confirmed in my spirit. God had already spoken to me that he'd called me into leadership. He'd called me to be at the front of things. He'd given me a voice. He'd given me a heart for people. So there was a witness. Yes, it was a natural witness, but there was a spiritual witness within my spirit. Why? Because if God lives in us, he'll speak through us. Yes? He'll witness to us. So we need to understand that prophecy of scripture doesn't come about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will. But prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So when we look at the Old Testament prophets, they were given an instruction by the Lord himself and then they spoke it out. Well, today, as we speak out his word, as we prophesy what he's already given us, things start to happen in the heavenlies. The Spirit of God, the breath of God will come into a dead situation and we'll see it come alive. Now, we're all getting older. That's something that I can be sure of. You're a day older than you was yesterday. And we can look back at our lives and we can see things that we thought were dried, dead and barren. Just think about it. There's something in your life that you thought, that's it, finished, never going to happen. And when you look back, you go, wow, look what God has done. He brought about a circumstance, a situation. Through this time of dryness, he brought life. Through this barren situation, he brought life. Through this time of depression, this time of oppression, he brought about life. And it's easy, isn't it, to look back. But we need to be those that will work with what God has given us, believing that as we speak his word and we look at the things that we feel are dead, then we can speak to those things. Say, Lord, you know. You know what the enemy means for evil. You'll turn it for my good. You know that if I don't get this position, there'll be another one come for me. You know that you can repair this relationship. You know that if I submit to you, then you will guide my ways. You know. So it's not dried up circumstances. It's only opportunities for the breath of God to come in. Now, it took a prophet to speak. It took a man that was instructed by God to see this vision, to have this understanding that Israel are going to come back together. They're going to be a people of purpose and proclamation. And we can see through Scripture that some of this has not been fulfilled yet, and some of it won't be until those that have died in the Lord are raised with the Lord. That's the second coming that we don't hear too much about. But for today, let's continue to be encouraged. In Genesis 2:7. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. The man became a living being. You see, when we go right back to Genesis, God had formed the man, he'd formed the woman, he'd formed humanity, but it wasn't until his breath was breathed into them that they became a living being. And that's the difference. What's the difference between life and death? The breath of God. It's the same spiritually as it is naturally. Without the breath, without a natural breath, we're dead. Yes? What happens when, this is not very nice, but you check someone's pulse and you check to see if they're breathing. If they're not, then they're deceased. Yes? Well, that's the same spiritually. Without the breath of God, without that Ruach, without the Holy Spirit coming to dwell within us, we are spiritually dead. So God wants us to be living beings. He wants us to see the circumstances. And yes, they can be big, can't they? It's like preachers will use this one, so I might as well. David and Goliath. Goliath is this giant of a man, and David is this small, insignificant dog of a man, as Goliath called him. And instead of David, poetic, David going, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? You could hear him say, oh my goodness, he's so big, how can I miss? What's the difference between David and his brothers? The breath of God. God had breathed something into this man that he said, who does this uncircumcised Philistine think he is coming against the armies of the living God? So he didn't see how big the enemy was. He knew how God, his God was. He knew how big his God was. He knew that if the living God breathing spirit was in him, he could do what God had called him to do. Now remember, I was going to say it's not on my notes, I don't take notes, but it's not in these scriptures. But just remember that it was for such a time as this that David was trained when he was looking after those few sheep. That he was being trained when the bear and the lion came to attack. He's being trained in integrity when no one else was looking. How are you going to act when no one else has eyes upon you? How are you going to react when there's no Christian to see you? How are you going to be when things are tough? And I'm challenged by that. But because of this journey, it was for such a time as this that David could stand there knowing that the Ruach of God, the breath of God, that spiritual aspect was in him, that he could do what God said he could do. Why? Because he was called, and you've been called for such a time as this. So maybe there's nothing in your life that you feel is dead. Maybe there's nothing that you think is dried up. Maybe everything is good. All your relationships, your family members, your finances, your spiritual walk. Maybe that's all good. But there are people that I know now listen to our messages online. Maybe it's for one of those that are saying, this will never happen. Well, God's word says it will. Allow his breath to come into the circumstance. And how do we do that? It's already been told, speaking it out. To proclaim God's word. Not my word, not your word, God's word. Lord, if it be according to your plans and purposes, let it be so. Breathe into this situation that I may see life where there is no life on the surface. When we plant a seed in the ground, we know what happens. We can't see what happens until we can. It's the same in my life and your life as we enable and allow the God's breath to come in. In Ephesians 2:1, it says this, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. So these are not my words when I talk about life and death. Outside of Christ, we're dead. We're spiritually dead in our sins and our transgressions. So this applies to us as individuals. It applies to humanity today. This was a word that was prophesied many years ago, but it applies, not that word, but this life and death applies to us today. It applies to our families. It applies to our friends. Have you ever met someone that's so obnoxious, you think, and maybe you don't say it out loud, but you think, my goodness, he'll never change. He would never be a Christian. Have you never read the story about Saul of Tarsus? Have you never read that one? You know, I would, when I was a young Christian, and I'd sit at the feet of some teachers, and they'd wax lyrical about Paul, and they'd go, oh, the Apostle Paul. And I'd be thinking, oh, you mean Paul, the one that used to persecute the way. It just shows you the grace of God. If he can do it for him, he can do it for me. If he can do it for me, he can do it for you. And he can do it for that individual that you think is dried up, barren, and never going to live. Why? Because if you pray for him, what are you doing? You're prophesying. You're proclaiming God's word. Lord, would you bless this man, encourage this man, this woman? Would you breathe into his life? Would you enable him to see his own reflection? Would you enable him to be a repentant man, that he would see his sins? Because at the moment he is dead, Lord, but your word says that he can be born again of your spirit. These are not my words, they're his words. So let's not give up on those around us. Let's not give up on our circumstances. Is this making sense? Because I'm enjoying it. It's as you read God's word, it's food, it's nourishment. In Colossians 3:16, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. As we come as a body and we say, Lord, I don't feel like singing today. I don't feel like worship. Our worship team, they encourage us to put on a garment of praise. Lord, I'm going to put it on. I'm going to wrap myself in that cloak of righteousness, because you've said that these bones can live. You've said that this circumstance can change. And that's not wishful thinking. That's what God's word says. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another. And that's what we're doing today. We're admonishing one another, lifting one another up through God's word, saying these dry bones are not the end of the story. So often we can just see the valley. So often we can just see the circumstance. So often we can just look at the bank account and go, I don't have enough to eat. We tell this story a lot. We've been in church a long time now. And we've sat with members of this congregation and we've had a loaf of bread, we've had a slab of butter, some cheese and some jam, and that's the food we've had to share between two families. But God knows, yes? I'm in a position now where I can afford to have two slabs of butter, not just one. So God is a good God, isn't he? I think Nigel even has meat with his. So how blessed is he? But the point I'm making is, if we just look at that circumstance, where's God? All I've got is this loaf of bread. Well, what does God say when he took the loaf and the fishes? It says, and looking up to heaven, he spoke it out. He gave thanks. And so often when we're thankful for what we have, we receive more. You know, it's the same with our children. You know, if I was to give to my children when they were small and they were ungrateful, I wouldn't give them again. It's just how I am. Maybe you're different. But if they are thankful for the small amount, then when the big amount comes, they'll be thankful. Yes? Why? Because we've trained them in a certain way to have gratitude in their hearts. Instead of saying it's just a small amount, it's saying thank you for the small amount. And then we breathe into that. We say, Lord, come and fill this situation. Can these dry bones live? Only you know, Lord. That's the key. It's not about my words, it's about his words. Not about my way, but Yahweh, God's way, his encouragement. Acts 4:31. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. Now, I just want you to picture this, and I'm not saying anything other than what I'm saying. So I just want to be clear. That don't sound very clear, does it? But what it doesn't say is they prayed, they were all together, the place where they were shaking, and then they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they did all these weird and wonderful things. It doesn't say that. What it says, first of all, is, and they spoke the word of God boldly. You see, I don't care if you manifest, shake, rattle and roll. That doesn't bother me as long as it's the Spirit of God doing it. But I know that God is at work when you start to proclaim his word, when you start to sing his psalms, when you start to praise for what he's done for you, when you start to rejoice in the good times, the bad times, the ugly times. Then I know the Spirit of God is working within you. And then when these other things happen, then I'm not in any illusion other than that God is doing it. So we need to look at what God says. It's the spoken, they spoke the word of God boldly. And that's what happens when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. That's what happens when these dry bones live. When I first met Susan, she thought to herself, I could read her mind. She thought, I've got the perfect man here. He doesn't smoke. He doesn't smoke. He doesn't drink. He doesn't speak. He doesn't say anything. He doesn't have an opinion. He's not into politics. He's not into religion. He's not into anything. He's just a kind man. And then God got hold of me and I haven't been silent since. So you need to pray for it. But when the Spirit of God comes in, then something happens. These dead bones live. Yeah? Amen? It's the same for you. You've changed. You know, the Bible says that we're to come as we are. We're to come in our brokenness. We're to come in our sins, our transgressions. We're to come in our vulnerability. We're to come in our weaknesses. But you know what? If we do, and the Spirit of God breathes in us, then we'll change. Won't we? We'll be going from glory to glory. No longer do we have our head down, but we had our heads up. Why? Because we fix our eyes on the author, the perfecter, and the finisher of our faith. Yes? That's the word of God. That's what breathed life into dead bones. In John 4:14, but whoever drinks the water I give them, this is Jesus talking here, will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. That's the spiritual water. That's the ruach. That's the breath. That's the encouragement. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. As we drink him in, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. You know, as we feed upon his word, as we drink in what he's given us, we are filled and we're filled to overflowing. And out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak and proclaim and prophesy. These dry bones, only you know, Lord, they can live. So be encouraged as we come to our final portion of scripture here, and it's in 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm. It is what it is. It's solid. You know, have you heard the term, I've hit rock bottom? Well, in some people's life, rock bottom is not a nice place to be. In anyone's life, rock bottom is not a nice place to live, to be. But let me tell you something. Look at it differently. If you hit rock bottom, you have something solid to build upon. If Christ Jesus is your foundation. See, if you don't, then you don't. You hit rock bottom and there is nowhere to go. The valley is full of dry bones. But if you're a Christian and you hit rock bottom, that you've turned to the right and there's nothing there, you've turned to the left, you look up, look down, you're in despair and you're going, God, where are you? I can't find you. And you feel spiritually bereft. You feel spiritually empty. You feel that when you pray, nobody's listening. When you speak, no one can hear you. You just feel dry and dead and lifeless. And you've hit rock bottom. Well, that's a good place to be. Because as a Christian, you hit rock bottom, you've got a solid foundation to build upon. And as you start to speak his word, you start to bring to remembrance, yeah, but Lord, you said you'll never leave me or forsake me. I want to feel you. I want to hear you. And what does God say so often? Well, listen, I'm speaking. I used to say this, pray, Lord, I can't hear you. And I imagined it wasn't God's voice. I imagined him saying, well, listen. Stop. Look. Listen. That's not just the highway code, is it? We need to stop, we need to look, we need to listen. Lord, what are you saying? And as we allow that breath to come in us, we will know that on this solid foundation, he can build us afresh. Sealed with this inscription, the Lord knows those who are his. And everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. Here's the good news. Wherever we find ourselves, when we stand on that solid foundation, sealed with this inscription, the Lord knows those who are his. If you belong to him, he knows you. He knows you by name. So often, we can see individuals that they have nowhere to run. They have nowhere to go. They have no foundation on which to build upon. Their life is empty and dry, very dry. They can't speak anything positive into the circumstance. All they can see is darkness. But let me tell you this, if you're a Christian, you can speak into their lives. How do I know that? Because Ezekiel was encouraged. See, the bones were dry, weren't they? They were dead. Lazarus was what? Dead? He stinketh. And the revised version said he stinketh a lot. He was dead for numerous days, wasn't he? And yet when Jesus spoke, something happened in the spiritual realm. And he was lifted up and he was lifted out. So you can speak life into death. The word that God's given us, when we look at the day of Pentecost, it's all about the breath of God. That God fills us with his breath through that we can proclaim his word. There may be signs, wonders and miracles. I want to pray for the dead and see them come to life. I want to pray for the crippled and see them leap and for joy. I want to pray for the blind and see their eyes unopened, the deaf and so on and so on. But there is something powerful that happens when we allow the dry part of our life to be resurrected and we speak the word of truth in season. We will see dead bones come to life. You will see family members suddenly change. You will see circumstances and situations. Why? Because God's given you that same ability. Just as the centurion said, I understand authority. See, this is a word that's threaded right through scripture. He said, I understand authority. You don't need to go, just say the word. So we just need to pray according to God's plan and purpose. Now, I'm not saying we pray, Lord, make this person a millionaire, but we're saying, Lord, make them rich in you. Lord, would you take care of their daily needs? Lord, would you come into their life? Would you breathe upon them? As you lay hand on their pillow, you're saying, Lord, as they sleep, would you visit them? Lord, I'm praying and interceding in this dead situation that you bring it to life. The key is you bring it to life. Who? God. God's the one that does the work. I'm going to leave it there because I could continue to preach. But the message of today is this. Can these bones live? Yes, they can. Prophesy to them. Speak to them. So let's personalize it. You know, we understand the spiritual connotations of this. We understand the truth of that portion of scripture. God was talking to his people then and now. God was breathing into the dead valley of bones. The Ruach of God came in. We understand through the New Testament, we were dead in our transgressions. So we were like those pile of bones in the spiritual, not in the natural. We were dead in our sins and transgressions. And we heard the word of God, didn't we? Somebody preached to you, or you heard it, or you read it, or you sang it, or God spoke to you. But you heard his word and life came into you. He's given you power and authority, not just to speak to your dry life, but to speak to the dryness in those around us. We're living in an age where if you look, you won't like what you see. If you listen, you won't like what you hear. But the Bible tells us and warns us there'll be trials and tribulations. But fear not, I am with you. Fear not, I am with you. I have given you all that you need. You need to stop, to look, to listen, and to proclaim. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. Lord, whenever we say to ourselves, can these dry bones live? May we answer yes, according to your word, according to your spirit, according to your plans and purposes. So Lord, as a body of people, Lord, Join us together through the Holy Spirit. As a body of people, if there's any dry areas in our lives, come and refresh us, we pray, in this season of our lives. Lord, come, we pray. We speak of your goodness and your grace. Lord, let the wind of the Spirit blow afresh through our lives, blowing away the dross and leaving the goodness. We ask this in Jesus' name. And God's people said, Amen.